Okay, well, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless us.
Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for this week of celebrating Chinese New Year. We pray, dear Father, that you will help us, Lord, to look forward to the year where we can seek your blessing. We pray that you will lead us and guide us, and may you bless the work of our hands. We pray, dear Father, that you will bless the food, bless the time that we're going to have right now. We pray, dear Lord, that you will bless the word that we are going to study. And we pray, dear Father, that you will enlighten us to your word. And we ask, dear Father, that you be with those who are not with us. Ask for your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, sorry. Say too many grace during this week. My goodness, so many meals. Ayo. Okay. Ay. Okay, today we are going to continue with our study. Better give you ang pao. I still remember. Ah, okay, here you go. All those who come during Chinese New Year, you'll get ang pao. Okay, I hope that's it. Running out. Okay, let's turn to Ecclesiastes. And then last week we were talking about how sometimes, you know, a little folly can destroy a person's reputation. This is something that we dealt with. The issue at hand is, you know, you can build a reputation for years. You can lead a righteous life. You can do that which is good for years, and people recognize and honor you. But then in a moment of folly, in a moment of a mistake, or, you know, you do something that's not right, that destroys everything, right? For example, during the week, we heard of Prince Andrew, or he's no longer called Prince Andrew. He was arrested, okay? And of course, it's linked with this guy who, you know, did all kinds of horrible things, and he was named as one of those people that he was that was involved with this guy, you know, in child, teenage prostitution and whatever else. And so he was arrested, and then that's it. His whole life down the drain. You know, he was considered a prince. Now they call him Mr. Andrew. No longer prince. Okay? And so sad. So sad for the family, so sad for the daughters, two daughters. And a moment of folly, your whole life is destroyed. And he goes on to talk about how, you know, a fool's heart is at his left hand. A wise man's heart is at the right hand. And when a person is a fool, even wherever he goes, wherever he walks. So this is taken from Ecclesiastes 10, verse 2, verse 3. Even when a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom. He shows everyone that he's a fool. So even if you're really a fool, even by the, you know, the issue of just walking, people know that you are a fool. You leave a trail of foolishness behind you. Okay? And then ultimately, the last part. If a spirit of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your post, but conciliation pacifies great offenses. And so sometimes the spirit of a ruler can rise against a person, especially when there's great offenses. So you look at Prince Charles, the way he handled the situation with reference to his younger brother. And, you know, he told the law, you carry on, do what is necessary. And so the spirit can rise against another because of great offenses. And here he talks about, you know, don't leave your post. In other words, sometimes these things can happen, but it takes wisdom, humility to stay in your post, to stay where you are. Don't run away from your problems. That's what he's trying to say here. And then conciliation pacifies great offenses. Now, we're going to carry on with the next part, the next three verses today. And it's sort of connected to what has been mentioned in verse 1 to verse 4. Okay, in verse 5, it says, there is an evil I've seen under the sun. And that's something that Solomon continues to observe again and again. He continues to observe evil. He continues to make observations of things that, that he considers these are vanities of vanities. And there's this issue about how rulers can make mistakes. You can be a ruler, and yet, along the way, you can come up with an error. Okay, so let's read in verse 5. There is an evil I've seen under the sun as an error proceeding from the ruler. Okay, now, the ruler is meant to be wise. The ruler is meant to be someone with rules, with righteousness, and with prudence. He knows how to regard his subjects. However, rulers can also make errors. And when he does not employ wisdom, there are grave consequences to his actions. It affects the whole nation. So a ruler is someone, when he is not wise, he's foolish, he can make decisions, he can come up with policies that can affect the whole kingdom. And this is something that we are going to try to look at. And in context, there will be two particular situations. Okay? Now, the first situation is folly is set in great dignity, while the rich sit in a lowly place. Now, this is a very interesting thing. The king, you see, there are times when you have a king who will honor the foolish. Okay? The king, so folly is given more precedence. The one who is foolish ends up in great dignity. He ends up in a high position. He ends up with great honor. He's somehow given the promotion. Now, we always think that the wiser person, the more intelligent, the wiser leader will be given the opportunity, the promotion, you'll be given great honor, right? But here, the ruler gives that position to a foolish man. Okay? They are foolish, yet they are given power and authority. And this can bring about grave consequences to the country. The country can suffer because of this people in high places. Right? I don't know whether you have come across a boss who is foolish, who is not so smart, who comes out with ideas and policies that doesn't seem wise. That's not so good. And it affects everybody. Right? Some years ago, there was a policy that came out. Two is enough. Have you ever heard of policy? Right? Two is enough. Okay? And it was a bad policy. It started, years ago in 1970s. I think it was before my time, because my family got three. So in 1970s, after we were born, they came out with this policy. Government came out with a policy. Two is enough. Two is enough. Then they have advertisement of a family, and they are very happy because they only two kids. Two is enough. Two is enough. Do y'all remember? Do y'all know about this policy thing? Huh? Do y'all knew about it? Huh? Okay. Do y'all studied? You studied about it, lah. Okay. Two is enough. And look at what's happening to Singapore today. Two is not enough. two is not enough. And wow, so government is really trying to get everybody to have more than, more children, more than two. They seem to be, making an impact on our couples in church because everybody has two and more. Some got four. Wow, very productive. Right. But generally in Singapore, it's, wow. You know why it's so important? Tell me why it's so important for our nation to have a lot more babies. Why? Okay, aging population. What's more important? What's most important? Security. Why? What part of security? Huh? What? Absolutely. We all need our own people to defend our country. Right? We cannot depend on other people to defend our country. That is important. You have people from China. Well, they say, okay, I'm NS, but when they go to war, they talk. They're not going to have a sense of loyalty if you are born, bred Singaporean. Okay? So security is very important. Right? You have done NS. What do you do when you do it for NS? Policeman. Okay, well, okay, good. This one, wow, naval diver. Okay, good. Matthias? Air Force. Okay. I was a pilot in the Air Force for 8 years. I served my country. Yeah, and so, you see, once you come up with a policy, it has to make sense. And so, this ruler decided that he will come up. Okay, let me ask you a question, and I would like you all to go and discuss very soon. Let me deal with the thing, and then you go and discuss. My question is, why did a ruler choose these foolish people? In what circumstances would a ruler choose these foolish people? Same. Okay, the next part, we read also very something similar. I have seen servants on horses where princes walk on the ground like servants. Okay, so this is another error on the part of the king. Servants are more highly regarded. Okay, this is another act of folly. You know, where folly is more regarded, servants can ride on horses, princes can end up walking on the ground. Princes who are treated like servants. Well, in the case of Mr. Andrew, he's treated like a criminal now. They are meant to be treated with greater dignity, but they are not. So the question is, why? Why do princes end up as servants? And why do foolish people are given great dignity? In what situations would you see these things happening? And if this was to happen in your working world, your working environment, and it does happen, okay, it does happen, how would you respond? Here it talks about the rich, right? The rich, while the rich sit in a lowly place. So the rich here is considered the wise and the rich. They are rich because they have been wise, they have been diligent, they have worked hard, they are responsible, they have been successful in life. And yet, they are not given dignity, they are not given the honor. They are seated in the lowly places. They are not given the honor that is due to them. They should be the one in power. They should be the one in authority. And yet, they are not given the opportunity to be one that in a position of great honor or dignity. Right? Then, of course, the princes are not highly regarded. They have to walk on the ground. Okay, so my question is, in what situations would this happen? In what situation would this happen? What do you think? In what situation? You want to go and discuss? We will take a bit of time. So one of the things we do is that we can go into groups. We can discuss this for a while. Okay. In what situation do we see this happening? And if this were to happen in your working environment, okay? You are not promoted, you're not given a chance, but someone who would seem less, he doesn't seem to be one who is, wise. He doesn't seem to be one who is able to handle greater things, but he's given the opportunity. He doesn't have the capacity, and yet he's given. But you're not given. How would you respond? Okay, let's go into our little groups. So one of the things we do, we go into little groups, and then we can discuss this for a while. Ken? Okay? How you want to divide? Yeah, I take the guys today. Okay, come. All the guys, you can come here. Hi. Can you all update what's happening? Yeah, you can update then. Okay. Tell us a bit of yourself, Timothy. You're Singaporean? Okay. Burmese, Mingalaba. Okay. So your parents are working here? Okay, what do they work as? Okay. Procurement. Okay, so you've been here for a while. Are you a Singapore citizen? Oh, great. Huh? You serve already? Wow, well done. Where do you serve? Intel, interesting. Officer or? No, spec, huh? Okay, great. I was trying to place where you from. You look more like Malay, but I don't think you are. Okay, yeah, Burmese. Okay, at least we can place. Yeah, I've been to Burma quite a few times. We have a mission trip there. Okay, do you go back often? Huh? Oh, wow. Actually, not a good time to go back. La. If you go back, they might not come out. Yeah, okay, yeah, better to stay here. Serve you better. Okay. Okay, let's talk for a while. In what situation would a person be given a position he may not be good in it? You know, he is given that position because what would be the reason? Even though he's foolish. He may not have earned it, he may not be good at it, but he's still given the position. Okay. So it is what? Nepotism. Nepotism. In Indonesia, that was a big problem. Initial years. And Malaysia also. Okay? Recently, of course, there will be more politics. But that's something. Of course, we have our Mr. Lee Kuan Yew lah, and Lee Seng Lung. But he has earned his reputation. He has done his part. He has done well. So I have no problems with that. Right? But it's a very common thing. Nepotism. Okay, what else? What else? Yeah, so you carry the person, isn't it? You are good in carrying a person. You are good in being, you are always praising the boss, and the boss like you, and then, you know, you are given a position, right? That is so you play politics, right? You play the political game, play politics in your office. Your boss likes you, that's it. You're given the position, even though you may not be the best fit. Okay, what else? What other situation? How many do I have? You tell me. Okay. Partly, yeah. Yes, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So he gets a person who is not so smart. A foolish person. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure. What else? Huh? The ruler also foolish. Yeah, I mean, okay, in some ways, in present time, Donald Trump. Basically, he gets all his cronies. Right? All those who will listen to him. They may not be the best people for the job, yet they are chosen. Like, for example, the Secretary of Health. Right? The Secretary of, they call it the Secretary of War now. Heigen, this guy. I mean, he's not a military officer. He's more a commentator. He used to be in the military. Wow, but he's chosen to be the Secretary of War, they call it. Right? And then the Secretary of Health, who is John F. Kennedy fellow, junior. He believes that we should not have vaccination. One of the things he's promoting now is vaccination is causing autism. You know, you have all kinds. So he's an anti-vac fellow, right? And then now you have outbreaks in America where people have measles. You know, right? I'm sure you heard about it. Partly it's because of this anti-vac thing. They say no need vaccination. It's more detrimental. And then you have outbreaks in measles and so on and so forth. Right? And then... So sure, you have all these people, they are up there, they're not supposed to be there. And yet, that's a reality of life. They are there for one reason or another. And it happens in our working place. It does. Right? It may not happen to you directly yet, but it does happen. Okay, what do you do? What should you do when you have such a situation, you're faced with such a situation, you know that you are more capable, you know that you have done your part, you should be promoted, and yet a more unlikely person is promoted. How would you feel? What should you do? Change job. What should you do? What the food's doing, right? It could be. So what? We also play politics with the boss. Huh? Should we? please him. Please the man more than anything else. Man pleasers, they're called. But the Bible says, don't be man pleasers. Please the Lord, but don't be man pleasers. Okay. So what should you do? Change job. Yeah, but we just learned, stay at your post. Don't move from your post. Right. Sure. Sure.
That's a fine
changing job. Yeah, well, in other words, don't just not do anything. Okay. But sometimes also, would it be wise to just be patient about it? Yeah, but would also being patient, okay, let's just say it just happened, you know, a few months ago, would it be a good thing to just wait and see and be patient? Well, sometimes the result will come in ways that sometimes you don't imagine if you learn to wait upon the Lord. So, okay, the issue is that in this day and age, a lot of the young adults, if they don't like something, it doesn't happen the way they want it, they move. That's a very common thing today. And I have no problems. I mean, if you really need to move, you have a better job to go to, great, that's your choice. But would also staying the course, staying in one place and learning to wait upon the Lord, would that also be a good, viable choice too? Maybe the Lord has a plan for you where you are. What do you think? Sure. Okay, the context I'm talking about is it just happened, right? Okay, you know, within three 4 months.
Yes.
Huh? Risk appetite. This risk management. Risk appetite. Yeah. Sure. Say, for example, okay, give it 2 years. Would you give it 2 years? Would it be unreasonable to give it 2 years? If nothing happens, then okay, you know. I tell you how I feel about this. I feel that sometimes we don't have the patience to wait upon the Lord. Sometimes when things happen, we want results straight away. But sometimes it's also maybe the Lord trying to teach us patience. You see, that's also part of the work of, you know, God, that He sometimes allows us to go through, and then we learn how to be patient. How to be not be resent, you know, to be resentful is all part of God working in our lives. Are you a Christian? No. Yeah. So one of the things we believe in is that when we have faith in the Lord, what happens is that He can change us. He can do a work within us. It's not just positive thinking. One of the things we believe is that sometimes God teaches us patience. And He wants us to wait. Okay, like for example, there was a situation that I went through that was a bit unfair to me. Right? And the unfairness was seen in where I came in third in a you know, finally in my course as a pilot, and then number 1, 2, and 4 was given the opportunity to fly a better aircraft, and then 3, 5, and 6 flew, so I was number 3, you know, flew a lesser aircraft, which was the UH-1H, right? Yeah, just flew a Super Puma. So that's considered unfair, right? Of course, that one I can't do anything. I can't go to HR and complain about it. You know, in Air Force, you don't have such things. But what should I do? Get angry, get upset? Initially, I was, but I also learned to wait upon the Lord. And I waited. And I finished my conversion. And I just trusted the Lord. I did my very best.
in this aircraft that, you know, was very old. But then all of a sudden, the Super Puma, during the next 2-3 years, there are a lot of crashes. That about 4 or 5 crashes along the way. And it was very scary for those who were flying Super Puma. But on the other hand, when I was flying the UH-1H, no crash at all. I mean, it was sad that, you know, quite a number of them passed away. But on the other hand, I could see the Lord's hand also. You understand what I'm trying to say? I understand that, you know, we can speak up, we should. I think it's a valid thing. And yet, you also must consider that also is one of the things that the Lord is trying to teach us. It's about patience. It's about learning how to wait upon the Lord. You follow? Sure, definitely, definitely. And I think there's a place for both, right? Okay, any questions on us? Matthias? Yeah. Sorry, being wise?
Being wise, like asking
patient. Okay. Sure. So one of the things that I always try to tell people, the wisdom in, okay, say for example, you just start the job and then you see all these things happening. You are 3 months or 4 months into the, or you've been there already about a year or plus, right? And then the opportunity is not given to you. I think it's good to stay at least 2 to 3 years in a job. I think there's wisdom in staying in a job at least 2 to 3 years because it's good on your resume. If you 1 year you are into it and then you expect the world for yourself to be given to you, and then you want to change job, you change job. So every year, things don't go the way you change. You change. It doesn't goes well with your, especially your resume, because people want loyalty too. They want to see whether you can stay and keep a job. But if you are someone who's just jumping ship all the time, people also sometimes don't want you. Because of that. So it really depends on the situation. I would stay. I would stay for a while. And I believe in loyalty. And sometimes loyalty is rewarded. Of course, today, even though you can be a lawyer in a company, if they want to restructure, that's it. You know, reorg, that's it. They kick you out already. So that's the private world. But of course, government, that doesn't happen now. So it all depends. But I really feel that there are times, as I understand from Scripture, there are times where it's good for us to be patient, to stay the course, even though there are things that we may not totally agree with. I won't jump ship so quickly, lah. You follow me? You know? I mean, if it's a repeated thing, then okay, lah, that happens. But I also believe that if you really walk with the Lord and if you are walking with Him, then He will also bless the work of your hand in one way or another. So I had this boss who was very nasty when I first went to the squadron. I had this boss who wasn't very nice. But it was very interesting that I had a supervisor who really looked out for me, who protected me in many ways from this nasty boss. It was very interesting. Right? And then later on, the nasty boss left. And then the next boss that I had was a Christian boss. That was even better. He was very nice. He knew that I was a Christian and we had conversations together. And that was a real blessing from the Lord. You follow that? You know, sometimes it is staying the course. And then you see things happening for you. If you just quickly jump ship, sometimes you don't see the hand of the Lord. Right, like for example, Joseph. The book, the Bible talks about Joseph, not this Joseph. Right, talks about how he was a prisoner. He became the servant of Potiphar, and yet God had a plan for him. he learned to wait upon the Lord. He waited, so he was about 16, 17 years old when he became a slave. And then he didn't become the Pharaoh right-hand man until he was 30 years old. So he waited. He learned how to wait. Okay. Does that answer your question? Okay, are you all done? Okay. Are you all ready? Okay, what do you all come up with? Okay, start with your group.
So like we discussed more about the situation at work, but I think the principle is the same. So like what situation would this happen where a ruler chooses foolish people? The first thing was affairs, physical interests with people. So that's in the modern world context also, more so. Also maybe pride, so where the ruler or the boss wants yes men, wants people to say
his cronies lah, right?
Yes. Basically, do his bidding.
Do his bidding. Like Donald Trump. Right? Basically all his secretaries are all his cronies. You don't listen to me, you're out. And then someone else will come. Right?
It's okay. No, I will tell
you. Edit it lah. Anyway, I don't think he will listen to this.
Also if the ruler themselves are foolish, they will choose foolish people. Sure. And I guess the overarching thing of these three is corruption. The rulers may be morally corrupt.
Okay. This side. Same. Anything else besides?
We didn't go into different like scenarios, but the overall answer is that it's a very complex and fallen world. So I mean, we did talk about like connections, nepotism.
Sure.
Yeah. So similar idea to theirs.
Yeah.
Many different ways or reasons why someone can be put in the position that they are put in.
Yeah.
Whether or not they are competent.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Okay. So now come to the point of. For yourself, if you are in a working place and this happens to someone else, you know, like someone is given the job but you are more capable, right? But someone else is given a promotion but you're not. What should you do? Because this guy, you know, knows how to curry favor, he knows how to please the boss, he works very hard when the boss is looking. When boss not looking, he goes off. And then he's given that opportunity. And he may not be the best person for the job. You may be the best person for the job. But this person is given that opportunity. What should you do? Should you stay? Should you go to HR? Should you make a formal complaint? What should you do? Have you all thought about that?
We talked about not so much not getting chosen over another person, but we talked about incompetent bosses. So like people who may not be making like wise or good decisions, sure, who are leading us. That's what we talked about.
What should you do? Abandon ship.
So there's that. We do have somebody one of the possible responses is abandon ship. Personally, I can only pray. I every day I go
you
to battle.
Abandon ship.
I can't abandon ship and
good answer to
I cling on to the Yeah. So I do feel somewhat helpless at times because it does feel like there's no there are definitely lessons to learn, definitely important things that I can learn, but at the same time the work itself still feels stuck because ultimately at the end of the day the person who lets everything go and makes decisions are the ones who are on top. Yeah. So sometimes there's a bit of helpless feeling, even though we try.
Okay. So what should you do? If you are in such a position, you're so-called stuck, and you know your immediate supervisor or boss is in some ways incompetent, what should you do? And you can't leave, right? Especially for, well, you can, but do you sign a contract or something? Yeah, you sign a contract. So, okay, then it's a bit harder to leave, right? And partly because you took so long to find a job and then now you have it. So what should you do? Run, stay. We just learned stay at your post. What should you do? From my side, some say, okay, you know, let's learn how to trust God. Okay? What else? Decide, what should you do?
Yeah, we also talked about trusting God. We didn't involve ourselves so much into thinking about how this person got there.
Yeah.
But on the response side, one is to trust God. And in the trusting, we learn to conduct ourselves as blameless. So,
okay. So we learn to be blameless, lah.
Yeah. So not to respond as how... not to respond reactively or aggressively or resisting the person, but to conduct ourselves as how the Lord Jesus would and how he taught us to.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important for us to understand that sometimes we may have bosses that are not good, can be harsh, you know, they create problems for us. What should we do? And the easy solution to me is to run. What if, you know, you're in a position that you can't complain, right? The big boss likes this fella. You go and complain, you get yourself into trouble, right? So what should you do? Actually, there's a situation in the Bible that describes, here is a very, very wise administrator. Okay, there are very few administrators in the Bible. Who are they? Working for the civil service. Who? Daniel. Do you know Daniel is an administrator? He is working in the civil service. Right? He's working in the civil service. A foreign civil service. Sorry, what do you say? Right. So he's working in a civil service and he was set aside when a new king came. Belteshazzar. Right? Okay, let's turn to Daniel. Let's read about this situation. I really, really like what he did. So in Daniel chapter 4, so he was promoted to become he was promoted when he was able to pray and come up with an interpretation for the king who had a dream. So in chapter 2, the king Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face prostrate before Daniel, commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. Truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret. And the king promoted Daniel, gave him many great gifts, made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon. He was the chief administrator over the wise men of Babylon. Wow. So he was given a very high position in the civil service. Can you see? Right? And then, of course, Daniel chapter 3 talks about Daniel's three friends. And then Nebuchadnezzar had a dream in chapter 4. Now, in chapter 5, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast for thousands of his... Now, there's a change of king now. Okay? And of course, this king is not as wise or, you know, capable as King Nebuchadnezzar, right? King Nebuchadnezzar was humbled. But here we see Belshazzar, and he was king, and then he began to drink wine in the presence of the thousand. And he tasted the wine. Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords and his wives and his concubines might drink from them. That they brought the gold vessel and they had been taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords and his wives and his concubines drank from them. And they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron, wood and stone. In the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed, and his thoughts troubled him. So the joints of his hip were loosened and his knees knocked against each other. You know, cartoon, they always have the, you know, image of the knees knocking each other. There is real life. This is happening. And it's happening to the king. And the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers. And the king spoke, saying to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and a chain of gold." Now all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, make known the king's interpretation. And King Belshazzar was greatly troubled, his countenance changed, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen was the smart one. Because of the words of the king and his lords came to the banquet hall, and the queen spoke, saying, "O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom." Notice, he is no longer the chief administrator. Right? He is no longer the chief. He's just considered a man in your kingdom. In other words, when the king came to power, Belshazzar, basically he brought all his cronies with him. Right? All the different people who serve him, who likes to drink, who likes to party with him. So he brought in all these people. And what happened to Daniel? Daniel was set aside. But what did he do? Well, he just continued. He continued to serve the Lord. He continued to pray. He continued to be who he was. Right? Even though he was set aside. He didn't run away from Babylon. He continued to be where he is. And let's continue to read. "O king, live forever. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, in as much as an excellent spirit." Now, one of the things that we want to have is this thing called an excellent spirit. You can call it blamelessness. You can say he's not reactive. You can say that he is a person who learns to wait upon the Lord. You can say that this person has a tremendous sense of stillness because his spirit was excellent, outstanding. Okay, he wasn't angry, he wasn't taking revenge. During those days, you look at all the kings, they all would take revenge. No, he will not take revenge, right? Even though he is no longer the chief administrator. And look, excellent spirit, in as much as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles and explaining enigmas were found in Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation. And Daniel was brought before the king. Are you Daniel, who is one of the captains? And of course, he went on to make an interpretation. And, O king, verse 18, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom, majesty, and glory. Right? Whomever he wished, he executed. Now, when his heart was lifted, his spirit hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men. Then, of course, he was humbled. This was chapter 4. Okay? But you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all these things. Lifted up yourself. Okay? And then, of course, he interpreted the inscription. Then, of course, that brought about his death. He made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Right? Then Belshazzar gave the command. They clothed Daniel with purple, put a chain of gold around his neck, made a proclamation concerning him, and he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Wow. See, he was promoted so fast. Even though he was set aside, what did he do? He learned to wait upon the Lord. Right? He had an excellent spirit. He learned to be patient. He learned to wait. He didn't run away. He didn't complain. He didn't take revenge. He didn't, you know, he just learned to be calm. He learned to have a tremendous sense of stillness. He was just considered a man. Can you imagine? He was the chief administrator, and then he was set aside when the new king came, and he was just an ordinary man. But when he spoke with wisdom straight away, he was given this opportunity. He was given the third ruler of the realm. In other words, he became like the DPM. Very similar to Joseph. Right? You see, sometimes people will not recognize your wisdom, your abilities. But then you learn to wait. You trust the Lord. You be patient. Someone along the way will look at all these things, and God will bless somehow. If you keep walking with the Lord will bless. Can you see that? Okay? Sure, there are times when you have stayed 2-3 years and you feel that, okay, you know, maybe it's time to move. By all means, look for a better job. Don't leave before you find a job. You know, a lot of people nowadays, they leave without even a job. That's your call. But I think it's wiser in this day and age to find a job first before you leave your present job, right? At least you got your salary still and so on. But one of the things that I really feel that is important is to have this excellent spirit, which is very lacking today. A lot of people don't have this excellent spirit. Call it a blameless spirit, call it a patient spirit, call it a spirit of stillness. I think that's something that we all need. And, you know, of course, there's that wisdom. See, wisdom and your spirit go together. What kind of spirit you have, it comes from the kind of wisdom and knowledge that you have. See, it corresponds. If you're wise and knowledgeable, you have, you know, depth of knowledge from the Word of God, your spirit will also correspond with how deep your knowledge is. But if your knowledge, your wisdom, you're more foolish, then your spirit will be very different. And I think this is something that we all can learn from Daniel, right? About working in the civil service, working in the working world, wherever you are. Can you see? So one of the things we believe is that God can give us wisdom. God can give us an excellent spirit. God can give us patience if we learn how to have faith in Him. And then with that, we can truly be outstanding in this world. okay? During the week, there was this American skater who won a gold, the last 24 years, American women have never won a gold in the you know, the solo skating, ice skating event. And she won, she became the first woman to win it in 24 years, right? What's her name? Do you all know? Alyssa Liu. And she, 13 years old, she became the national champion in the US. And 16 years old, she retired because she was a burnout and she just felt that she didn't want to carry on. She didn't like. And then 2 years later, 3 years later, she started again. But this time, her spirit is different. She just wants to enjoy it. You know, and she just finds a lot of joy performing. So her point in what she's doing is to perform to the audience and not about winning the goal. And it was very interesting. Her point is, I just want to perform to people. It's about connecting with people. It's not about winning the goal. The goal, winning the goal is secondary. Wow, that is a very different perspective. And her spirit is joyful. She just found a lot of joy in what she was doing. I don't know whether she's a Christian or not, but if a non-believer can do that and have such an excellent spirit, an outstanding spirit, because everybody could see the joy in her, that was what really stood out. So much more we, right, as Christians, so much more we should find that sense of joy in all that we do. Can you see? And to me, this is a very good example of, okay, any questions you want to raise up concerning this? And guys, anything that you understand where I'm coming from with this? Okay, anything? Anybody like to raise up anything? Okay, turn with me to another. Now, I'm going to show you an example of a person where folly was regarded more than wisdom. Okay, now we do a negative thing. And this is seen in 1 Kings 12. And this is the son of Solomon, Rehoboam. Okay, 1 Kings 12. And so in 1 Kings 12, we read, and here is Rehoboam. And he became king. And then there was this man by the name of Jeroboam. Don't know why they are like the word Bohom then. Okay. And then Jeroboam, verse 3, and the whole assembly of Israel came to and spoke to Rehoboam. Your father make our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the burdensome service of your father, that his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you. Okay, so basically, Rehoboam was the king. Jeroboam was someone who was working for the king, and they came together with all the leaders, and they wanted the king to lighten their load because Solomon made them do hard labor. Right, so actually Solomon wasn't a nice person. He got the people, his own people, to do hard labor, right? Because he wanted to build his houses and his palace and so on. So now, Jeroboam is asking, can you lighten our load? Right? Can you lighten our load? And then he said to them, verse 5, depart for 3 days and then come back to me. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he was still alive. And he said, how do you advise me to answer these people? So these were the wise men, right? And they spoke to him saying, if you will be a servant to these people today. Wow, what wisdom. Don't lord over them, but be a servant to them. Be nice to them, right? Okay, serve them. Answer them, speak good words to them. Like our Prime Minister. Do you all like our Prime Minister, Mr. Lawrence Wong? Yeah. Yes? No? I like him because he gives us a lot of money. So I know it's very superficial, but I mean, whatever the government gives, I'm happy. Right? Yeah. So he appealed to me. But I'm always been a PAP man. So it doesn't matter who is the Prime Minister. Of course, he makes all kinds of funny mistakes and stupid mistakes. Then, of course, I would think twice. Right? And so, speak good words to them. National Day speech, Chinese New Year speech. Say good words. We are looking out for you. We care for you. Leave no man behind, you know. and so on and so forth. Right? They will be your servants forever. Right? What wisdom? To me, that is wisdom. You serve the people. In other words, serve the people will serve you. I think that's a lot of wisdom. And I think that's why a lot of people sometimes don't get it, that, you know, it's not about being lording over others. It's really about serving. When you serve the people will serve you in return. Great wisdom. But look, he rejected the advice which the elders had given him, consulted the young man who had grown up with him, who stood before him. Now, these are his cronies. Okay? These are the people whom he grew up with. These are his peers. They played football together. They go and buy Gongcha drink. They go parties together. Still got Gongcha? No more, yeah. Yeah, now it's called Chagi. Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, they go bubble tea together. They go swimming by the ocean. And these were his friends. Okay? These were his friends. They grew up together with him who stood before him. And he said to them, "What advice do you give? How should we answer these people who have spoken to him, saying, 'Lighten the yoke which your father put on us'?" Then the young man who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, "Thus you should speak to these people who have spoken to you. Your father make our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us. Thus you shall say to them, 'My little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist.'" Wow. You know what that means? The burden that I give to you, is like my father's waist, right? But my finger will be bigger than my father's waist. In other words, even my finger is far bigger. The burden that I'm going to give on you is going to be far bigger, far worse than my father. Basically, that's what it means, right? And now, where else my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastened you with whips. You see, Solomon wasn't a nice person. He chastened the people with whips. Can you imagine? Right? But I will chasten you with scourges. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had directed, saying, "Come back to me." Then the king answered, rejected the advice which the elders gave, and my father made your yoke heavy, I will add to your yoke. And so he listened to the advice of his peers, the young man, which was very foolish. Can you see how this is so real? How this can happen, that the king can place the foolish